At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Actually, what time is... I don't even have... I think... I always think that this is a watch. What time is it? Because...
Oh, is that a beach band?
No, it's a Whoop.
Which is an imitation beach band?
No, it's just called a Whoop band. It just tracks a bunch of stuff.
It's 201.
201. Okay. I'm like already... Medicine's kicking
Man,
in.
Man, it's going to go away.
It's going to go away soon. I'm getting DBS.
Excited for you.
Yeah. So let's welcome our guest, Tim Lockard. Welcome to The Secret Life of Parkinson's.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
So Tim, I was just, Brian's just really getting excited for me because I'm heading into DBS in a couple of weeks. But we wanted to bring you on to talk about your Parkinson's story. And I'd love to ask you a little bit more if you've thought about that yet. And so we can get there in a moment, but welcome. Thanks for coming on.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to The Secret Life of Parkinson's, a podcast created by people living with Parkinson's to help break the stigma of a disease no one likes to talk about. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Krauser and Brian Baker. So tell us a little bit about yourself, because we all know you from Instagram and from other things. But tell us about your journey, who you are.
My name is Tim Lockard. I started the My PD Party, a social forum on all outlets. And basically, it all started because I got diagnosed in 2020.
Okay.
Had a little bit of a rough road. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not afraid to admit that I was in those dark places where you're just like, is there any positivity in sight here?
Mm-hmm.
And I found it in this community, in this beautiful park, this community of warriors that I found online. And I didn't want to just be somebody who absorbed it. I wanted to add to it. I wanted to be part of helping, not just, you know, reaping the benefits of everything that you guys offer. And that's really made me dive into being, you know, an online social media, you know, advocate, so to speak.
When did it start?
I would say about a year and a half ago. So I was sitting in a car with probably not the best of intentions. Things looked a little grim, you know, and then life kind of zapped me and hit me and made me realize, you know, I've got kids here that I need to take care of. I've still got work here to do. And I dove into the deep end of the pool and, you know, with the advocacy and trying to get the word out and just trying to let people know that they're not alone. Because let's face it, that's how we've all felt. And Somehow in the time I've gone from a guy sitting in a parking lot of a rainy Dunkin' Donuts to probably some people call me the Howard Stern of Parkinson's social media. I don't know what happened.
But that's awesome. Here do you still work?
I just stopped working. I was working at an automotive dealership at a desk job.
Okay.
What happened was it got very hard to type, very hard to write during the off periods. As I'm sure you guys know, some speech mumbles a little bit and things get a little slow. So I just kind of ended that working journey now.
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully, it's kind of invigorated me because now I'm going to dive into this full force all day. You know, I want to be an advocate. I want to leave the Parkinson's world in a better place in which I found it, which is kind of like what you guys are doing. And it's going to allow me more time to do that.
That's great. Did you have to go through like a disability procedure or process or anything like that?
I'm in the process of doing that now. And I will be honest with you, it's not the best.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of difficult.
Unfortunately, we can't find anybody to give you advice yet either.
Nobody can. And that's a shame. And truthfully, that's part of the reason why I wanted to go from a guy that just posted funny videos and information, you know, to getting into the government side of it and the help side of it and funding, because that's important. That's what's ultimately going to save lives, you know. So that led me down that path. I've done a lot of work with the Fox Foundation. I've been in contact with Cory Booker's office. I'm supposed to be meeting with him in a couple of weeks. See if we can make something happen there. Obviously, he's got a little bit of a personal history with this disease with his dad, you know, so maybe we could tug at some heartstrings there, but there's always a way to help.
This is going to sound horrible, but who are you referring to?
He's a senator.
Senator from New Jersey.
Got it. Okay. Where do you live, actually?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Sorry.
No. I'm just surprised I knew something you didn't.
I know. And how do you know that?
I'm very much. I follow politics pretty.
I do too. Okay. Brian's. He's on top of things.
He sure is.
So what are you what's your main, do you have a main focus yet? Or is it just anything that you're kind of finding? That's kind of how I feel like what we did is we kept finding different things and kind of following along. But is there anything that you're passionate about specifically?
I'll be honest with you. Like I said, and I got to commend you guys because I fell in love with the name. Because the one thing that I will continue to say to anybody with this disease is a lot of times you feel alone. Mm-hmm. And doctors will tell you too that what works for one person is not going to work for somebody else. So that's another reason I dove into this online forum, just get advice, to talk to people. So I think I just wanted, like I said, I wanted to give back. I wanted to just put something out there so people feel like they're not alone if they ever needed somebody to talk to. But then kind of like you guys, I just kind of started moving on and stumbling along and finding new ways to advocate and fundraise. So I started throwing fundraisers. And like I said, now I'm kind of diving into the other end of it where, on the government side to see what I could do to help, anything I could do.
What's your regimen? What do you exercise? Do you take medication? Are you open to all things or what?
I'm open to all things except for one thing. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. I work out every day. I definitely will tell you that while I used to roll my eyes when people say, exercise is the best medicine. I was like, yeah, sure it is. It is. 100% is because I feel it when I don't do it. Mm-hmm. But that's how I know. I tried to eat right. I actually will tell you, people think I'm nuts because I made a post about a week's long about the things that I'm grateful for having Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds crazy. Listen, nobody wants to live like this. It sucks.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of positive things that have happened to me in my life mm-hmm. since this. It's made me a better person.
All right, you got to meet us.
I know.
Hey.
I was working my way up to the best thing. But that's true. I've met wonderful people. But yes, taking care of my body, which sadly, it shouldn't have taken Parkinson's for me to do that. But right? It has.
I tell people that all the time. I'm like when I first got diagnosed and my doctor was telling me what to do, I'm like, so basically I should live like every normal person should. Eat right, exercise, and not everybody has to take medication. But you know what I mean? It's like, so live a healthy lifestyle. Got it.
I could have done that without Parkinson's, by the way, right?
Yeah, but I wasn't. I was not, I hated it. I mean, I was never good at exercising. I was never good at, keeping a schedule or a regimen. And, now it's I have to because I feel the same way as you do. It's I can feel it. I can tell a difference.
100%. And I think with me, it definitely helps because I'm not so much a tremor guy as much as I am a rigidity guy.
Yeah, me too.
Kinesia guy, so my things are slow. So if I could help lubricate the joints by working out a little more, an increase in that.
What?
Nothing. We literally had this conversation the other day with.
I thought you were going to say something.
I told you today. I've had a neck problem lately, and so I haven't been able to work out. But I worked out Wednesday, and then I called her. Man, I just had a moment, and she's like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "I got no fluidity with my motions. Everything is, real rigid and stuff like that." But
which goes to show, which Melissa tells us all the time, that's why mirrors are so important. You don't always want to look at yourself when you're exercising, but it's really important because you think you're doing something and you're not at all.
Yeah. But it was very discouraging just to see how it fall back.
Maybe Brian just likes going to the gym to look at himself, and that's okay too.
Not anymore.
Do you go twice a week, right?
Yes.
Melissa's laughing.
Yeah. Well, normally I do twice a week.
Uh-huh.
Under normal circumstances.
Normal circumstances. But you're still not even taking medication, which is probably part of your problem.
This makes me so tired.
I know. I'm sorry.
You might as well feel better while you're doing it.
Do you take medication?
I am currently taking Rizagilin, and I started the new Crexont, the extended release.
I heard about it. Yeah. How's that?
It's tough to describe. It works. I definitely put it this way. When I feel on, I feel a better on than the regular carbidopa levodopa. But to me, it loses a little bit of the kick. So what my neurologist recommended was to take the Crexont, but take a half a pill of the old school with it. And I've seen a big difference in that.
That's what I do. I take an immediate release, but it's just the regular carbidopa levodopa. And then I take a controlled release at the same time. So I take both of those. And that makes such a difference. But why I'm struggling right now, which you can't see because you can tell I'm not dyskinetic because I don't have enough carbidopa levodopa in, because I missed one of my 11 o'clock. I didn't have one of my controlled release. I don't know why. So I only had the immediate. But anyways, are you looking into any other type of therapies, or what is...
I do physical therapy.
Once a week. Physical therapy. Really? How's that?
It's great, Brian.
Thank you for reading that. Yeah. So what do you go for? Do you have a specific, like, cause when I went, mine was very specific to like my right there on my back and then my shoulder and elbow. Do you have a specific thing?
I definitely think that it's more centralized core and balance type things. Mm-hmm. But the end of it, which is another part of therapy, I think is massage therapy.
Oh yeah.
I definitely think there's something to be said for that as far as just loosening up a little bit. Cause I personally think that my biggest issue is stress, like anything else in life. I definitely could feel the stress, especially more so now with Parkinson's, at the toll it takes on my body. Mm-hmm. So anything I can alleviate stress, which is impossible, I get it. But just to massage therapy, you know, listening to a podcast, you know, just anything I can do to calm my nerves.
Do you take anything for anxiety, or I hate using the word antidepressant because I don't always feel like it is that, but do you take anything for that?
Zoloft.
Okay, so same here. And it was funny. I was in the car with my son yesterday, and I told him, like, okay, can you get this pill and this pill for me? Because my alarm was going off and I was driving. And I was like, but make sure this pill says 460 on it, because the other one, 213, is the Zoloft. And he's like, well, what's the other one? He's like, what if you took the other one, or I don't know, something like that. And I was like, that's a totally different pill. He's like, how is it a different pill? It looks exactly the same. I'm like, I know, that's one issue. I was like, but no, that's, and I've never really talked to them about like those pills. And I don't know, I mean, just because they're teenagers, but I was like, that one's the anti-anxiety or, you know, antidepressant. He's like, you're on, he's like that. He's like, he always thinks he's going to get Parkinson's. So he's like, now I really don't want this, you know, the disease. I'm like, one, there's no one saying that you are going to get it. I was like, but at the same time, but Ben, it's not really for, it's like, I did have my moments like you did, like you're in dark places. I was like, but more so it's really, it helps me. I'm like more at ease and I'm more relaxed. So not every, like when I was, I think before that I was always like this, like with my kids especially. And now I'm just like, I can't let it, it doesn't stress me out, which is great. Cause the stress is like, it just, you know, for people who have rigidity, like I'm just tense all the time. So.
Well, and either because especially with rigidity, like you feel like you can't get things done, and then it starts to frustrate you, and then your mind starts going because you can't do things at the same pace that you used to do them at. Mm-hmm. So it bounds to the problem.
Yeah. So what do you why are you smirking like that? Gosh.
You take Zoloft and I take a gummy.
There are other options.
So the results could be the same.
Have you ever considered any surgery yet, or does your doctor talk to you about that?
Okay, so here's the way I view this. I'm a type of guy that, listen, I work out every day. I'm a big baby. I've got tattoos all over the place. I don't like giving blood. I will literally pass out when I give blood. So
the thought of surgery.
Do I love having somebody put four holes in my head? No, I don't. But what my neurologist is saying, and he might be right, is that when you get to the point where you feel so bad, you might change the way you view the surgery.
Yeah.
And I believe that. It is. So ultimately, I might do it, maybe.
It was, I mean, for me personally, it's been life-changing.
Yeah, call me in a month.
Yeah, I was just, unlike Jess, I was so naive. I was like, yeah, let's just get this party started. Let's go. You know.
Well, listen, I have a bone to pick with Jess because I reached out to her yesterday because I had important celebrity questions to ask. I wanted to know what my camera should be like, and she is off getting post-op, you know, brain surgery things done. I mean, can you please prioritize?
Yeah, really.
I know. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, somebody else has to answer this because I am just like, I was wiped out.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
But thank you for understanding. But it was a really interesting process. And honestly, like, I would actually love to have the surgeon that he did yours to, Dr. Ramo, maybe have him on sometime, because just the way that he explained it, and I had my mom there. My husband wasn't able to come to that one, but he's already heard everything from that surgeon. But like, just to hear the detail and like what it entails, it sounds way worse than what it is. And I know it's so hard to say and explain, because it's like, it's brain surgery. It's still a very big deal, but it's like, when you hear the actual specific things of it, it's different.
It's just for those guys that do that, it's just another day at the office. Mm-hmm. You know,
I know, but just even like from my mom's perspective, because she didn't know like what to think like going in, you know, and she was always still worried, like, are you sure you're ready? Are you sure? I'm like, when I was laying on the MRI table again, I was like, I couldn't control my foot, and it was like, so, oh, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, even though this is not my show. I'm deathly afraid of getting it. Now, you're going through it now. If you were speaking to somebody like me to try and change my mind, to put my mind at ease, is there anything that you picked up on in that meeting that you could pass along to somebody like me that would help?
I think, well, it just depends. Because, I mean, you can always go through, like, the pre-DBS testing? Pre-qualification. And so I did that last year just to kind of get things started. Because I was like, I think I'm interested in it, but let's just even see if I'm a candidate. So, and when I did that, they were like, you know, there's even though some people will probably pressure you, there is no pressure. Like, you can do the testing, and it should be good for a full year for you to make a decision. Obviously it's still like based on your healthcare system. But once I went through that, and then I realized, and they told me that I was a candidate, that made me feel better. What I would tell people though, and I'm not really getting to your answer yet, but there are a lot of people that go through this and they either are not a candidate, or it's not recommended and people don't like that. So they might go see somebody else. And it's like, okay, there are definitely reasons as to why we're good candidates compared to somebody else. And so that was very helpful in understanding. So I, you know, off medicine versus going on medication, I have an 80% difference. A benefit. Like they usually want to see you like improve by 30%, and I improved by
80%.
Yeah, that's
and,
great.
And that's so just like that alone. But then they do your neuropsych test, and because they're like, if you're not cognitively well, then your brain's not in the healthy spot that it needs to be. Just like, you know, your heart or your whatever. Right. So hearing about all the different things, and it's like, this is the best, this is the healthiest time in my life to do something like this. It's just like saying, it's like, oh, like you're young enough to get a, you know, knee replacement, and it's, you're not going to be hobbling all over if you were, you know, way older.
You don't have that window.
So, yeah. So that's what made me feel confident. And then Brian's still always telling me too. It's like this, if you,
why not? If you have the opportunity to live your life
now
better than you are now with the medication, for me, it's a no brainer. I mean, right. I mean, like I said, it's literally been 3 years that I've got my programming turned on next month. No medication, which is still fairly odd. You know, most people are still on some type of medications.
I probably will be.
But I've been lucky enough not to be able to pretty much function at a high level without medication. But yeah, but I mean, it's got to be you or Jess or whoever's, you know, choice and do what's best for them. But for my thought process was, if there's something out there that can help me live better, then I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, look, I wish it were that simple for me to wrap my
oh, yeah.
Well, here's something that, and this is what I told Jess, and she's had too much time between the assessment and the surgery. Because for me, they scheduled it pretty much right away. I was like, whoa, this is happening that fast. But it gives you less time to get worried about, think about it. And because I was like, we'll see if she makes it to the operating
room. No, I will. It's in 2 weeks. I have to. I'm in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my thought process and what I would tell people that are, in our same boat is, you know, I could do it now or I can wait 5-10 years. And I'm already 6 years in. So I know what I feel like now, which I actually do feel better now, but I know what is worse, like how I've progressed since I was first diagnosed. So it's like, okay, the DBS is going to work the best on me right now versus later on, just like taking medication. You can take the medication in 5-10 years, but your body's already worse. And the medication and the DBS can only do so much. So getting the best quality of life as early as possible is that's what I'm kind of going for.
I mean, everybody raves about it. I mean, just all you gotta do is ask Brian.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've had good results, but we know people that have.
Yeah, we know people. Yeah.
And the number one thing to anybody's expectations. It's a process. It's a process. It's not, and even be going through it, knowing it is a process. As soon as you have the first surgery, you're excited because you get that honeymoon stage where all your symptoms go away for a week or two, and you're like, oh, this is magic, you know.
And don't you guys think too? It's also dependent upon like your neurologist. Because it's like the medication that you're on, you know, why am I not on Crexon? And what's the other one that you're on?
I'm on Rizagilin.
Rizagilin. So I never got on that, but I have a bunch of friends that are on it. So it's
that's
like
agonist, isn't it?
Is it a dopamine agonist?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's why I'm not on it. I already went down that.
Yeah, it's one of the ones I think
But still, it's like everybody has their own different cocktails, and same thing with like programming. It's like the whole thing is a process, but it also depends on, you know, the people that you're working with.
That's why this is such a tough disease to navigate, and that's what I said. That's why I dove into this forum. But like I said, I could be in a stadium with 50,000 people that all have Parkinson's. And I might not find another person that shares the same symptoms as me. Mm-hmm. It makes it hard, you know? So the more info we can get and the more we can get out there and advocate and talk to each other, I think the better off we all will be.
I don't know if we touched on this in the beginning, but you said you were in a dark place and then you turned the boat and became an advocate. What, like, how long were you in that dark place? So like people who are, you know, still in the beginning of being diagnosed or whatever, how would you talk about that process, that journey?
I think really what it all boiled down to is acceptance. I've always been, listen, everybody, every human being that walks the face of the earth is proud, and they don't want to be vulnerable or feel out of control, which, let's face it, that's what this disease does. Mm-hmm. It control away. It's something that you just simply can't, you try your best with medications and therapies, but ultimately it's out of your hands. And I think once I finally came to terms with, you know what, I don't care if I look funny when I walk, I'm going into mm-hmm. the gym. You know, I think once I got around the, so to speak, F them mm-hmm. mentality and just can't, listen, the way I look at it, I'm not going to care about what all strangers think when I'm gone. So why should I care about it now? Mm-hmm. I just kind of snapped out of it and said, you know what? And like I said, it was really my kids. I'm not going to lie to you. I've always said since the moment my children were born that my life was no longer mine anymore. It was my mm-hmm. kids, because you're living for somebody else. So it would have been foolish to take my life for my kids. So I think that's what snapped me out of it. Mm-hmm. And just diving in and helping other people, it's opened up a whole world for me. Even with all the shakes and horrible times and stiffness, I would take this version of me over any previous version of me, because I'm a better person for it. I know I am.
It's really well said. And I think, I mean, I know I feel that same way, because there's so much purpose that I found in advocacy and meaning, you know, with, you know, not that I didn't have felt like I had meaning in life, but like, this is just, it's more powerful because the, you know, how you're able to help other people. And then once you do help other people, then they're starting to help other people. And it's like, it's just this ripple effect of like goodness in the world.
100%. You know, I laugh because when I first started this, I would do something called coffee talks, where I would just FaceTime people and we would have coffee and chat.
Coffee.
Coffee. I'm from New Jersey. So, and a couple of times people would text me and say, you know, you saved my life. And I'm laughing. I'm like, yeah, I didn't save your life, but I feel like this community has saved mine. So I get it. Like, even though they don't mean it in a literal sense, I get the feeling, because I truly don't think I would be here without the support and love and information of this community.
But in a sense, don't forget, you probably really did, because saving a life, it doesn't always mean the actual literal terms of like, but it's the quality of like, you know, people staying on their own and not, you know, because I tell everybody, like, I think you just said it, ripple effect, but it's like, it goes throughout your whole family and friend unit. You know, when you're down and out and they're like, they're trying to help you and they can't. And I actually always, I've compared this many times before, but it's like, if you're an alcoholic and you're going through AA, it's like, you have that support system, but it's like, you can't tell that person to accept where they are. Like, they have to do it themselves first. Same thing with like Parkinson's, probably any other disease too.
Step one, come to terms with the fact that you're dealing with something.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's important for what you do and for what we do. And that's been our whole thing, is having patients tell
yeah.
the story versus doctors or reading it on Google or whatever else. And I think it's one of the number one things we probably get feedback mm-hmm. on is, you know, it's real and it's raw. It can be, sometimes it's funny, yeah. sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's emotional and sometimes it's poop. You know, it's constipation. I don't know.
You say, I don't care how far down the road I go as far as advocacy, as far as what levels I get to, I'm still not going to stop posting the funny videos every day. Because if I can make somebody smile mm-hmm. 5 minutes out of their day, that's what I wish somebody would have done for me
yeah.
a lot earlier than I let them. Mm-hmm. And their fault, I had the wall up. I had the guard up. And I had to let that down to be able to let the world in, the Parkinson's community in.
Yeah.
So how important that is.
Well, okay. I really appreciate all the efforts and things that you're doing. So thank you so much. And it's great to have you. And I know you said you spoke to Allie yesterday, and we've had her on before too, but you know, I feel like you guys are, you know, kind of like the takeovers of Instagram, and there's many other people too, but I like, yeah. that is one platform. I suck at all social media, but like the podcast, I'm like, we can do that.
Listen, if I can do it, you can do it.
But honestly, I think just like, you know, we have to find everybody where they are. And, you know, again, being able to make that change and just making sure that people don't feel like they're on an island. It's like that, because that is the worst feeling in the world.
You have to open up your books. You have to, yeah. you have to please make you vulnerable enough.
Yeah.
To the person.
Yeah.
Just let the world in. That's where you yeah. are.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on. You're a joy to have on. I'd love to see you two actually like sit down together. Well,
I'm hoping you guys are going to get on my show.
Oh, absolutely. You got it.
So, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to do all three of us, but I would even just like two of you.
We could do that too.
The men's show.
Yeah. We'll talk about guy stuff.
Right? I always keep trying to tell them, like, I was like, because I have my young onset women's group that we just have, like, we just do text messages and stuff. I was like, you need to like start something. He's like, I'm not a friendly person.
No, it's just, well, guys don't want to talk about
yeah,
that.
But sometimes they do.
I don't want to hear about that.
You do. You call me bitching all the time. So.
I know, but that's you know, that's my one off.
Can't we just join your women's group?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like no boys allowed. I'd have to ask.
Well, man.
Sorry. It's yeah. like that. Yeah. Anyways. All right. Well, in our last 30 seconds, I will leave you all with this. Whatever phase of life you're in, just know that you're not alone. There are people, whether we're on social media or in books or present within your community, there are people there, but it takes you to open up and to accept. So whether you're the caregiver trying to get somebody to open up or you're the person with Parkinson's, just know that people are always out there to help you out. So with that, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is produced by Melissa Carlson and Steve Brandenburg. To contact us, email info@thesecretlifeofpd.org. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not responsible or liable for any medical advice, diagnosis, course of treatment, or any other information obtained through this podcast. The information provided by The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast. You are encouraged to consult a physician for a definitive diagnosis.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.